Be praying for Brother Jerry Hickson. Most of you probably know Miss Barbara Hickson passed away Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? Wednesday. And they're going to bury her in Missouri, in a veteran cemetery in Missouri, this coming Wednesday. And due to all this virus mess, there's no public funeral service or viewing or anything. Just be a few family members there, and just pray that all that goes well. And that lady, she endured a lot. She really did, and she just hung in there. She's got a great reward in heaven now because she really went through a lot those last 10 years or so, and just constantly in and out of the hospital. Man, I was in there 2 days, like it drove me nuts. I can't imagine what it'll do to somebody having to be in there as much as she did, and. I think I'll just shoot myself where I have to go again. I tell you, it wouldn't be so bad if I'd had somebody visit once in a while. You know, Angela could come and go with the kids, but they wouldn't allow that. Just me, sitting there and putting up with all that, and to think of what she went through. Every time you turn around, she's back in and back out, in and out, and it's got to be a tremendous relief for the whole family, obviously, but first and foremost to her. She's in heaven now. Her suffering is gone. No more hospitals. No more in and out. No more sleepless night. None of that. I mean, she's in perfect rest with the Lord. And Jerry is now starting a whole new stage of life. And listen, you probably already know, but women handle this thing much better than men when it comes to a spouse passing away, on average, as exceptions. But generally, the woman finds a way to... two things that women are just... Well, lots of things women are really good at, but two things that stand out to me. One is pain. They have a way of dealing with pain, you know, that they just put... Every time I turn around, she's got a headache, you know. I get a headache, I go nuts, you know. She just lives with one, pretty much. They're just better with pain and putting up with stuff and they're better with that in the latter sunset years of life when a spouse passes on and they're left behind. They just find a way to do it better. Men really struggle with it, and I don't know. I could guess about some of the reasons that might be, but I don't fully understand it all. But I wrote Brother Jerry Hickson a nice letter the other day and mailed it along with a check from the church just to help him out. Talked to Tony and Bill about it. We decided to send him $500 just to help out right now and just pray for him and that he'll keep his spirits up and stay busy, you know, and I think he will. But just pray for God to watch over Brother Hickson and continue to encourage him and use him greatly. All right, let's go to Psalm 2, and I told you I'm going to try to stay with it here and get us finished up before 9:30. I don't think that's going to be what time? Is that right? Okay, all right, I think... What? Okay, well... I was just kidding about that 9:30 thing anyway. You know better than that. We're not. All right, Psalm 2. Psalm 2, beginning at verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. God's really, really worried about it, ain't he? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Doesn't even get up. Doesn't even stand up. He just sits there and laughs about what man is doing. The Lord shall have them in derision. That's making fun of them. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, yet the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to be together. It's a joy to be back in the, just literally back in the house of God and assemble together as one group. And we've done what we can and what we could in these last few weeks. We did what we thought we needed to do. Just, if nothing else, just for sake of testimony and showing that we're trying to be reasonable and trying to abide by some of the guidelines that are being observed. But Lord God, that can't continue forever. And we're making an effort now to start moving back this way. For you bless your effort, Lord God, bless your services, and hopefully get everything back to complete normalcy in the next few weeks ahead. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. For you get in the message and just speak to our hearts. She's going to hopefully say some things that will maybe inform us a little, but also hopefully encourage your hearts today and just help us to keep on front and center for the glory of God. And Lord God, we thank you for what you do today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Jacob, you've got the doors taken care of. All right. I picked that chapter, not because I'm going to preach on the whole chapter, but a few things that are said there. It says, why do the heathen rage? It kind of came to mind when I was thinking about what I'm going to talk about a little while today, because I'm going to talk about what in the world is going on. What in the world is going on? Well, that's what's going on. The heathen are raging. The whole thing has just gone nuts, you know. Matter of fact, if I have more time when I'm putting a message together, I will actually type it up and get it all my spelling corrected and get it all ready, and I'll post it on Facebook. I don't do that every week, but maybe once every month or two I'll have time to type one up. And I did this. I spent a lot of time yesterday getting all this typed up, and this morning I posted it, and I'll always get an appropriate picture, you know, some kind of a photo to go with it. And my photo for this was the 1963 comedy movie, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. That's my photo for this thing, because that's what's going on. He said, why do the heathen rage? I think of that, and I think of also where it says, verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. That's what's going on. This world is just going further and further and further against the Lord. That's what's going on. I mean, right now, there are some places where churches cannot get together like we are this morning. Thank God for the Bible Belt. You know, people make fun of that. You know, they poke fun at that term. Yeah, Bible Belt, and then they'll show you a picture of some rednecks, you know, getting drunk, you know, or something bad happening or bad things going on. Listen, sin's everywhere. But come on, there's no better part of this country than the southeastern United States, where there is a heritage, a tradition, a general respect and understanding that this book right here is God's Word, and your life would be better if you lived by it. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I know I ain't living right, preacher? You go to New York and listen to them. They won't tell you that in New York. They tell you to go blankety-blank yourself, you blankety-blank, you know. They don't do that around here. It's just rare exceptions. Around here, somebody will tell you, well, I know I'm not doing right. I know I need to do better. I know you don't, you know. I remember witnessing a guy one time in his yard. He's working on his car, and he's sitting there smoking a cigarette, you know, while he's messing with the car and stuff. He wouldn't even turn around and look at us in the face. But he acknowledged in so many words that he knew that cigarette wasn't right. I wasn't even talking about the cigarette. Well, why'd he bring that up? Because he lives in the Bible Belt, and he knows certain things aren't right. Even if he isn't in line with the book, he knows there is a book, and that book is the standard. And you get out of the southeast United States, you get further and further from that, and you wind up in places where, man, they act like a Bible don't even exist. And before you know it, you're longing for home. You're longing to get back to a place where there's a better appreciation for it. But man, most of the world is not like this. Most of the world, boy, it's a whacked out place out there, and it's just getting worse. It's just going nuts, you know. And thought I'd just spend some time, because it can get discouraging if you watch it too much. You see it, and man, if you don't, especially these days, don't watch the nightly news. That stuff will just, if you've had a pretty decent day, why in the world would you want to ruin it with that garbage? Man, they'll just destroy you. You just wants to go out and find an angry street gang and say, why don't y'all just whip up on me for a while, you know, because that's what the nightly news will do. They'll just beat you down, you know. He says this world is crazy. He basically just got through saying there, it is a mad, 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 mad world. But he says, in verse 4, I get a kick out of that, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He doesn't even stand up. He's just sitting there saying, Michael, what are they doing down there now? Well, Lord, they got a stupid virus, coronavirus thing going around, and they're politicizing it, and they're using it to further all kinds of agenda and causes and stuff, and they're attacking the U.S. Constitution, and they're doing it. And they're gonna try to get a vaccine, Bill Gates, and they're gonna try to connect that with a biochip, maybe a computer chip, and get everybody to take the what, you know. And God doesn't even get up. He just sits there and laughs and then doubles down on the laughter and derides them. Has them in derision. Man, meaning what? God isn't the least bit worried about anything going on down here. And if God isn't worried about it, we don't need to be worried about it. God's my Father. God's your Father. And my Father is in charge of the whole thing. I like what I heard Jack Howells one time. He got on an airplane and he was notorious for striking up using all kinds of things to strike up a conversation with somebody to get a witness going. And he's talking to the stewardess, and I forget how it all started, but he ended up saying, my father owns this airline. And that stopped her right in her tracks, you know. And pardon me, your father owns an airline? Yeah, my father owns all the airlines. she thought he was a nut then, you know. And then he ended up explaining his father is God, you know, and so forth. And I don't know how he went after that. But listen, there's a lot of stuff going on. But I tell you right now, God isn't the least bit worried about any of it. He hasn't broken out one bead of sweat, and he's not going to. I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of that this morning. Let's get started. What's going on? What in the world is going on? Number one, your president is being assaulted. Okay, that's what's going on. Your president is being assaulted. Now, you might not agree with everything he does. Who does? That is so stupid. I don't agree with everything I do. I can go in there and listen. I have gone, how many times I have gone through sermons of mine thinking about, well, it's been a while since I've done a repeat. Let me see some of these old favorites of mine. And I go through there and I say, well, that's certainly not one of them. That's certainly not one of them. Probably half the sermons I got in there is not even one I will ever preach again. I don't even like it. You know, I pull it up and look at it and say, man, what a stupid thing. Why did I do that? You know, and I don't agree with a lot of stuff I do, a lot of stuff you do, a lot of stuff my wife does, a lot of stuff Janice does. I don't agree with a lot of stuff anybody does, including the president. So what? He is the president. I do believe he loves his country. And I do believe he's done far more good than bad. Well, let's just take what we can get, amen? Because the guy before him, I can't say any of those things about him. Other than he's a president, you know. Okay, you're the president. He has been assaulted since before he was elected. They knew right away he was not one of them. One of the establishment people. One of the globalist, you know, puzzle pieces that fit in smoothly and just help keep this thing rolling in the direction of the new world order and absolute control where the devil can step in eventually and just run everything. He's a problem to that cause. He is not one of them. He doesn't fit in. Now, listen, there's a theory, and I toss this back and forth myself. I don't think this is going to happen, but I will allow for the possibility. The theory that Donald Trump right now is a guy that most of us like and appreciate what he's doing, but he's going to change. He's going to flip. Well, that might happen. We do understand that principle is biblical. Whether he could be the Antichrist or not, I kind of doubt that. I think the Antichrist would be in the East. All the types of the Antichrist are from the East. Why wouldn't the Antichrist be from the East? But if that is true or not true, I don't know. But that principle is biblical, that the man of sin becomes the son of perdition. I understand that. But I'll say this. If he does flip, if he does change, it will largely be because people had him under attack nonstop for 3, 4, 5 years, however long it continues, and they changed him. Not because he was wicked from the start. He just couldn't. Who can? I couldn't hold up under that. I'd already be in the nut house. You know, every day. Every day, pull up the news in the morning or something other on the computer. I do that. I turn on my computer. I always upload some more stuff on Facebook just for people to read and enjoy throughout the day. And when it first comes on, there's all the Microsoft top news stories. And half of them are bad things about Donald Trump every single day. Imagine what that would do to you if every day for over 3 years straight, there's at least 10 news stories shooting you right between the eyes. 10 more tomorrow, 70 a week right there. Just nonstop, what that would do to your mind. All you can do is just, what he did a couple of weeks ago, he said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. All these briefings and everything are just getting chaotic and crazy. All y'all want to do is argue and fuss and fight. I'm just going to quit showing up to a lot of them. Y'all can just fight among yourselves. I got better things to do. That's the kind of stuff I would have to start doing, I guess, you know. Your president is being assaulted. That's what's going on. There's a lot of that going on. And I don't say the whole purpose of this fear-mongering virus stuff is just to get him out of office. I think that's one of the top reasons in America. I do believe that. I believe one of the top reasons is just keep people miserable. Stay at home. Be safe. Why? Well, I grant you, that's safer. It's safer to not spread the virus. I give you that. It's safer to not spread it. But you can get out and go somewhere and still be safe. We went fishing yesterday, okay? We didn't get up and rub shoulders with people. I didn't shake anybody's hand. I didn't get up, you know, 5 inches from somebody's face and spit on them. I didn't do that. We managed to be safe without just staying in the house. But you know what they want? They want you to stay home. Stay home. Stay home. Why? Because you get unhappy, you get miserable, and in November you go to the voting booth and throw the suckers out. Well, who's the suckers? Donald Trump is one of them. He's in the White House. It's that idea of unhappiness will throw out the incumbent. That they got all the data to show that. When people are happy and prospering, the president that's in office gets reelected. And when people are miserable, say like the Bible says, when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Well, the wicked isn't bearing rule unless somebody other than the president takes over and makes you mourn with a bunch of this garbage like we got right now. Now you go on and blame the president for something that he had nothing to do. He had nothing to do with. He called it what it is. He called it the China virus. Your president is being assaulted. It's going on. And if you don't like him, okay, don't like him, but don't assault him. You don't have no Bible grounds for assaulting the president, for verbally assaulting him and lying about him and misrepresenting him. Every time he says something, they twist it. He made a comment a while back about, it'd be neat if, we know Lysol is so strong and it's so convenient and it'll kill this stuff, it'd be neat if they could come up with something that quick and that easy that would, the medication-wise, that would kill this, coronavirus thing. And they went out and said, oh, he said you ought to be ingesting Lysol. He said nothing of the kind. But see, there's idiots. Listen, it's scary. The fact that they think that will fly with people is a sad commentary on America, because that means they know there's people dumb enough to fall for that. Now, you and I know better than to believe he meant that. He didn't mean that. How can you be a self-made billionaire if you're that stupid? You can't. Obviously, the man is smart. He'd had nothing like that in his mind at all. But that shows how desperate they are. They'll grab anything. They'll come up with anything. If you don't like the guy, if you got reservations about him, or you think he's going to flip-flop and become the son of perdition or something or other, okay, pray for him. That's Bible. Just pray. Just pray for your president. If you think he's evil, just pray that God will limit his ability to carry out whatever evil devices he has in mind or might potentially get in mind later. Pray. But don't assault. Don't assault your president. Don't be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. Number two, what's going on? What in the world? In the world is going on? Number two, your Constitution is being shredded. Your Constitution is being shredded. You say, how do you mean? Look, I agree to a point. When you go read about the executive powers of the president, you could say there may be a little leeway there where he can use what we call executive orders. I know that's not a constitutional term, but still, when it gives him executive power, obviously executive power with no ability to do anything is useless. So obviously, you might make the argument that a certain amount of executive orders are in order, but it should be for carrying out the actual guidelines that are laid down in the Constitution, not external things that you add to the Constitution, say, and too much of that is going on. For example, when you sign an executive order saying, in so many words, that liquor stores and abortion clinics can stay open but churches have to close, your Constitution is being shredded. Okay? And we could just talk all day about stuff like that, where this is okay, but this is not okay. Well, wait a minute now. Say, I'll tell you what's going to get interesting is when some of this stuff blows over and some of these things wind up in the Supreme Court. Because it's going to come down to people who know law and people who have the responsibility of equally applying the law. And I know sometimes the Supreme Court disappoints us and does stupid things, but it's amazing how often when they deal with First Amendment issues, they come out on the right side. And I remember David Gibbs talking about that a lot. And lots of times when churches, street preaching issues and freedom of assembly and freedom of speech issues come up, it's amazing how often the left loses. And we just assume we got this defeatist mentality of thinking we just always lose. We just never... No, not necessarily. When it comes to some things, we win more often than we lose in the courts. And right now, everything's so chaotic and mad and turned upside down, it's not in the courts. But a lot of this stuff is going to wind up in the courts, possibly, in the months and years ahead. It's going to be interesting to see what happens because, listen, we could say everything is just falling apart and it's hopeless, but it's not because we have been going as a country with the present Constitution. I know you can amend it from time to time, and that has been done some, but for over 230, 40 years, whatever that thing comes to, since 1787, we have had the same Constitution with an occasional adjustment or amendment or something, and that's why we're able to meet here right now. That's why we're here today. That's why we're worshiping today. That's why we can still get out on the streets and preach. That's why we can still put out tracts. That's why we can still witness in the workplace and talk about God and the Bible and whatever. And God gave us that freedom, and just because man wants to take it away doesn't mean it's going to be taken away overnight. God is in charge of that, and we will have it as long as God wants us to have it. But what you see right now shows you that there are people. I don't say everybody. I don't say every governor and every, you know, the president and everybody who says or does something that restricts or limits the style of worship that we have is doing it for evil purposes. I'm not saying that. A lot of them are just trying to cut down on the virus spread. I understand that. But a lot of them, while doing that, are also saying, hey, this is a great opportunity to say, get in there and restrict our freedom some more. So it is true that your Constitution is being shredded. You've heard some of the stories of these crazy things where somebody shows up at a church and they're meeting outside in their cars, and sheriff's department comes up and starts giving tickets to people and stuff like say that is a violation of your First Amendment right of freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, and so forth. That's going to wind up in the courts. But for now, just remember and know. That's one thing that's going on. Your Constitution is being shredded. Number three, your intelligence is being insulted. They think you're okay with it. Or they think you're not that concerned about it. You're so apathetic. Oh, whatever. Just get through this thing, you know. No, you ought to be enraged about some of the stuff that's going on. I don't say you need to take to the streets and start a riot or be a part of the protest. I saw a guy the day. He said, this is why I don't... This is why I don't join the protest. And and his point was they had a bunch of people protesting, and they were out protesting the something to do with they're tired of this quarantine lockdown stuff, and they want to see things open back up. Well, I do too. But he's out there holding, I don't know, American flag or whatever, and just trying to be a good American. He looks up about two or three two or three groups of people down. It's a group of sodomites out there holding up a rainbow flag. So he's out there identifying with them. He said, no, I don't want to be a part of it. Well, then stay home. Or go do it some other way. You get out and get caught up in that general mad world out there. There's all kinds of crackpots. You wind up looking just like them. So maybe that's not the best way, but just know your intelligence is being insulted. Few things are more offensive to me than to sit in my chair at night and flip on some news something to catch some little something I heard. I never watch a whole newscast. Oh, they're just depressing. But once in a while I hear so-and-so is going to be on, you know, so-and-so's going to interview the vice president. I'll watch little segments, you know. But even then, you got to endure some of the other stuff, you know. And then here's some blonde, you know, comes on, sitting there behind the desk all painted up, you know, like a possum hunter at pokeberry time, and she's sitting there smiling like she's this authority on everything. And then she starts giving us instructions about the things you can do to be safe. And she talks to me like I'm a 5-year-old kindergartner. I thought, who are you? What makes you think the American people are so stupid that you're actually informing them? You're telling me to wash my hands? We got a sign at work. It says, wash your hands. Okay. And I like it. The one that just says, wash your hands, roughly 20 seconds in warm water. Okay, got it. We got another one. Or, I'm a 56-year-old man. I got 5 kids. I'm a pastor of a church. Okay. Or, you can sing happy birthday twice while you wash your hands. I'm insulted. I'm insulted. You talk to me like a little child. My kids would be insulted by that. We just laugh at it, you know. We just make fun of it. Listen, you can insult me, I'll insult you right back. What a thing. Your intelligence is being insulted. They're doing this crazy stuff, and you're supposed to just believe it. Don't question them. Just whatever they tell you to do, just do it. See? You're supposed to not understand that this has anything to do with an election year. Oh, no, this is serious stuff. Really? Really? You know, they're supposed to believe that. Your intelligence would be insulted. I hope you're insulted by the whole mess. I hope you're insulted that they think you're so stupid that you can't figure out how to wash your hands and you can't figure out how to keep your distance from people. Now listen, I know some people are that stupid. I've seen people. I've been to Walmart and seen people just ignore any safety precaution whatsoever. But you know what? I've seen most people keeping their distance. When I see somebody, I come close to somebody, I've seen people deliberately just kind of take a step that way and go the other way. And probably most of that's not even necessary. 6 feet, that's pretty good distance. That's probably from me to her. I'm not sure. I guess I could spit 6 feet if I wanted to. I'm not going to try it. But 6 feet, man, that's quite a distance. You know what that is? That's not just what's required. That's extra safety is what that is. You could probably practice a 3-foot rule and be good enough. But when you go 6 feet, man, that's really getting out there. But I'm not against that. I'm not opposed to that. But don't tell me that I can't judge for myself what a safe distance is. Don't tell me I can't judge for myself whose hand I need to shake and whose hand I don't need to shake. If somebody I haven't seen in a long time, I want to give them a hug or a handshake. I've got enough sense to shake a hand and then wash my hand in a minute. Yeah, but oh no. We're like, we're all little children. We're all just little mind-numb robots. We can't think for... Listen, if we're all that dumb, how did we even manage to get out of bed this morning and put our clothes on and do anything with our hair and get our kids ready? For that matter, how do we even have any kids that are not just raving idiots? How did we manage to get them into school or, even, God forbid, homeschool them? How do we manage to do anything if we're as dumb as they think we are? We're not. It's the other way around. They're the blockhead. They're the ones that... Listen, I get through a whole day with no talking points. Except the ones I get from God. I get some talking points from God. They get up every morning and they get talking points. They get marching orders from the executives. What story we're going to spend today? How we're going to spend this one? How we're going to spend that one? And then they go through their whole day with that stuff. They're the idiots. You know what they call news anchors in Russia? Well, I don't know what they call them now, but back in the Soviet Union, you know what they called news anchors? Remember the TASS news agency? Any of y'all remember that? Every time they'd come out with a news story from Russia, they would say the TASS news agency. I don't know what it stood for, but it was just a communist news network. Today it's called CNN in America. But they'd call it the TASS news agency. When they would say, in America, NBC says this, or Associated Press reports this, or whatever. When it comes from Russia, they will say, TASS news agency said this or said that. And it was the Communist Party line on whatever the news story was. You know what they called the news anchors back then? That would come on TV, the talking heads? They called them readers. Meaning what? You don't have to know anything. You just have to look nice, look respectable, and read what's being put before you. What are you reading? Something that somebody else prepared. Something that some propaganda that somebody else put together and worded it just right. All the political correct words and phrases. Put it right there. You just sit there and read it. That's all you do. Blah, 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 blah. And next story we have blah, 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 blah. That's all that stuff is in America, except they don't call them readers. They call them journalists. They call them anchors. They call them all these different things to make it sound like they're objective. They put it all together themselves. No, they didn't. They're just like that bunch of communists in Russia. It's the same stuff, except in America you can get away with calling it something it's not. See? Over there they just call them readers, and that's all it is today. And yet you're supposed to be the one that is naive and ill-informed and need to be educated by them. They're not educated themselves. How can they educate us? They're getting marching orders from the top office and doing what they're told to do, and just ignore it. Just laugh at it. Don't take any of it seriously. Your intelligence is being insulted. Every time they tell you something stupid like that, they're assuming you will believe it. Doesn't that bother you? Doesn't that insult you that somebody thinks you're dumb enough to believe some of that stuff? Your intelligence is being insulted. Number four, your way of life is being altered. Look around. It's already altered. You say, well, it's going to get back the way it was. I wouldn't bet on it. I think a lot of it might. I think to some degree we'll begin to see some normalcy. I don't know how long. I mean, it could go clear past the election. This thing started out with, I think it was the middle of March maybe. Let's try to kind of lock things down for a couple of weeks, you know, and get through the end of March and see how things are. Well, they still didn't look too good. Well, let's go to the middle of April, you know. And then we went another 2 weeks and still, you know, didn't look too good. Now let's go to the end of April. And now we got to the end of April and things are kind of opening up some places, other places. We're still locked down. It's just, who knows how long this will keep going. I don't know. I know this, in Sweden, listen, in Sweden, they made up their mind over a month ago, they're not doing lockdowns. They're gonna embrace a totally different philosophy called herd immunity. It's kind of crude. They said, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to let this thing run its course, with the exception of two or three things they did. I think they said something like no assemblies larger than 50 people. Restaurants can stay open, but you can't pack them out. Just some general things, but nothing like what we got going here. And the last I read, they weren't doing too bad with it. I mean, they weren't. It wasn't quite the success they had hoped, but it wasn't a disaster either. It wasn't anything like what we're seeing here. So I don't know how it's going to be in the long run. But the idea with herd immunity is, the more you keep people apart, the less people get immune to it. Because we know this virus, most people who get it, it doesn't really do any great harm to them. And only like 1% or 2% end up dead, I think. And most people who get it do not get hospitalized. They get the feeling bad. And if they know they got it, if they got any sense, they will stay home. Listen, that's another thing. If you're sick, stay home. Hey, stupid, I already knew that. I've known that a long time. Why are you going to insult me with such stuff? When I got the flu, you know what I do? I stay home. I don't feel like going anywhere. Why would I want to go anywhere? You say, well, there's some people. Yeah, some people, but most people, when they've got the flu and they feel bad and they got 103 temperature, they're not going to Walmart. They don't feel like going to Walmart. I don't like to go to Walmart when I feel fine, much less when I'm sick. You know, what a stupid thing. And I'm saying, yes, I know there's exceptions, but the exceptions prove the rule. The rule is, average person feels sick, he's going to stay home. He's not going to go anywhere. And the idea with herd immunity is, by not getting all this ultra separation, there's enough people that get infected with it and that develop an immunity to it so that it stops among them. It stops among that group or among this neighborhood for the most part. Yeah, I know there's some that go out in the neighborhood and they'll affect somebody here and there, but that happens with everything. But the general idea is herd immunity will fight this thing. That's one theory about what happened in California, that this thing did not show up in January. It was here in November and December, and a bunch of people in California, because the Asians came here through California mostly, they got it early on and developed herd immunity before we even knew what the thing was. And that's why California never saw the numbers that New York City, that New York and New York City sees. See, because of her, that's the theory, one theory, a herd immunity. I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't know. But I know that it is an insult to our intelligence to think that we can't think a little bit for ourselves and figure some of these things out for ourselves. And I know that because of this ongoing stuff, our lives are being altered. Listen, my guess is some of these things that we're seeing right now are not going to go away. I don't know. Maybe the social distancing will completely go away. But I bet since this has been brought up, every cold and flu season, coronavirus or some other virus, whatever, you're going to be reminded, social distancing, social distancing. We've never had to deal with that before. That's never been a part of our life before. Now, as far as a policy, a guideline put on you, but who hasn't practiced social distancing? When you know somebody's sick, or when you know you're sick and somebody getting close to you, what do? Keep your distance. I'm not feeling well. Just, you know, or they start to shake. Hey, brother, how you? I'd rather not do that. I've been not feeling real good this week. You might not want to do that. We do that automatically. We don't have to be told by some blonde anchor sitting behind a desk with lipstick on, you know. Don't shake hands. No, shut up. Just shut up. I just want to reach to the TV and just slap her in the face. Or just, I got guns. I'll just pull out. I'm done with you, sister. What a thing. I don't know how much of this is going to continue, but I would imagine going forward we're going to see people wearing masks in public even after this is over, because it's put such a spook in people. And that's the sadness of it all. You don't know you do know, but you don't know how far it's going to take society in the direction that we know it's going in. And that is total government control and nothing but a bunch of brainless robots taking orders from Big Brother. It just needs to be always a balance, of course. But right here, in all believers, there ought to be this idea of, look, I will do some common sense measures. I want to be a good American. I want to be a good citizen. And I want to show biblical moderation, Philippians 4:5. But my marching orders don't come from Washington or the United Nations. They come from New Jerusalem. And you're not going to control me. And I'm going to try to be a good citizen, and I'm going to try to be reasonable. But I'll decide when I wear a mask and when I don't. I'll decide whether I shake somebody's hand or whether I don't. I will decide whether I have church services or whether I don't, or how I have them and how I don't. You're not going to just take over. So there has to be that attitude, or we're just useless. We're just taking over. And we're nothing but just a bunch of robots down here. And if I'm going to be a robot, I'll be God's robot, not anybody else's. Amen? Let's move on. Number four, your faith is being tested. Let's deal with this for a little bit. Romans 8:28, come to this. Your faith is being tested. I mean, right now, everybody sitting here, either you have got fear about all this stuff that's going on, or you've got faith. One or the other. You don't have both. You got fear or you got faith. Romans. Come to Romans. Your faith is being tested. Romans 8, look at verse 28. Romans 8, 28, familiar verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Look at that. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That means whatever's going on today, what in the world's going on, well, whatever it is, as far as you and I are concerned, God says it's working together for good to you. Now, it might not be working together for the good of this world, because a lot of people in this world is heading to hell. That's not good. It's not working together for the good of Bill Gates and that bunch of globalists who are going to wind up in hell, and Nancy Pelosi and all the people trying to get the president, you know, messed up and take over and run the country, and Joe Biden. It's not going to work together for their good, no. But for blood-bought, Bible-believing Christians who still love this book and believe this book and still live right and still want to please God and glorify God with their lives, gosh, it don't matter what you're going through, for you, not for everybody else, but for you, it's going to work together for the good. See? Now, that's something to have faith in, because it sure don't look like it. Just looking out there, ha, what in the world good can come from this? God said, well, I'll tell you one good thing can come from it, is the fact that you keep your eyes on me and show that you can keep your eyes on me, and you can dig further in that book and get a hold of some good promises and claim them and live by them, because the world's not doing that. They're just waiting for the next newscast so they can be terrorized again and have nightmares all night. You don't do that. When they're looking at the news and getting their latest fear-mongering story, you know, you look to the Word of God and get you some promises to hang on to. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about it. I was reading my Bible yesterday morning, and I had something just kind of jump out to me. It wasn't a big thing. It's just a simple little thing. But it was kind of neat. You know, just kind of neat. And I thought, oh, hey, I like that. I can use that. There's a thing from Romans where Paul said, "For I reckon." Remember when Paul said that? "I reckon." He's a southerner, southern tribe, Benjamin, you know, Paul. He said, "I reckon," I had a Confederate flag down there, come think of it. "I reckon that the sufferings of this present age, present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Remember that? Paul said that. He said, "I reckon. I reckon." He said it that way. "I reckon that the suffering," he said it in the context of suffering, "that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." I thought, you know what I need to do when I'm going through something that's uncomfortable for me or challenging for me or challenging my faith in some way, so I have faith, I begin to doubt God? I just need to reckon like Paul. And if whatever the context is or whatever the thing is, I just apply that reckon to that. I'm in pain. I got a toothache. I can't get any help until, you know, next week or whatever. Well, I reckon Jesus had more pain. That'll help me right there. See, I don't have enough money for this or that. Well, I reckon Jesus had less money. See, every time you say it, it'll work, and that'll cause you to get your mind off of it. It's kind of hard to keep dwelling on your lack of finances when you call to mind the fact that Jesus had not a place to lay his head. See? Oh well, at least I got a bed to sleep in, I think. At least you got something. See? You got more than he had. Oh man, this arthritis is killing me. I reckon it's not as painful as what Jesus went through. If you just reckon once in a while, you just reckon that thing in comparison to what Jesus went through. It's amazing. It's amazing how it'll keep you out. Your eyes are over here. I think I need to go do this and do that. And well, I reckon Jesus. Oh well. Get back on track. It's so simple. Just a simple little thing like that. And whatever it takes, amen, to stay focused. And listen, right now, there's a question. Our faith is being tested. Are you... I try to be nice to these people on the internet and the preacher friends. They all send me, you know, because of our literature, my name is everywhere. I don't really seek the publicity. It's just there by virtue of all the publications and stuff. And they all send me these requests, friend requests. They, you know, and the trouble is, they all got different views about things. I don't take Pentecostals and heretics and stuff, but I mean, just independent, fundamental King James Baptists, boy, they are very wide and varied in their views about different things. Some believe the gap theory, some don't believe the gap theory. Some are pre-tribulation rapture, some are mid-trib, some are post-trib, some don't know what they are. And man, it's just a variety of stuff out there. So when I take them on board, I say, well, we're generally in agreement on things, so I probably won't be fighting with the guy all the time. I don't want to. But still, there's times when they don't agree. You know, they just don't they don't agree with stuff, man. They start throwing stuff at you, and you have to argue with them or answer their question without an argument. You don't want to get into all that. And, man, it about drives you nuts. Sometimes you just want to block all of them, get rid of all of them. But then again, you want to help people. You want to publish stuff. You want to say things to help people. And I just find that if I follow them, I pay too much attention to them. It's amazing how many of them are so focused on negatives and spook stories. Every time you turn around, they're sending me another story about, look what's happening now, you know. And I say, well, what is it, you know. And, oh, it's over here. And the latest thing is Bill Gates, you know. He's got the number 666 patent. Or 060606. He got a patent on that, or getting a patent on it, supposedly. And he's going to use that for a vaccine and to keep up with everybody. I thought, well, I don't know if he is or not. Just because he wants to do it doesn't mean God's going to let him do it. And just because he wants to do it and God lets him do it doesn't mean God's going to let him do it here. Bill Gates spent most of his time hanging out in these third world countries using Africans as guinea pigs for medical purposes. You want to get right down to it, okay? As far as I'm concerned, the guy is just evil as hell, okay? And that's where he's going if he don't get saved. That's the big spook stuff. It's going to be the mark of the beast. Bill Gates and these people, and they had this big thing back last October about what would happen in the event that a virus got loose and began to spread across the world. And lo and behold, 2 months later, here it is. Did they cause it? Did they create it? I don't know. What I do know is God is still on the throne, and you're not going to shake my faith. Bill Gates is not bigger than God. See? Bill Gates will only get to do what God lets him do for a limited amount of time. And if he's only going to give the Antichrist 3.5 years, I get the more I think about that, the bigger kick I get out of that. Jesus Christ is going to rule this planet with you and I for 1,000 years. The Antichrist gets 3.5 years. That's all you get. Can I have 4, 5? Can I have? Nope, 3.5. That's all you get. And then the Lord comes back. Boom! That sucker goes to hell and it's over. I mean, that is so wild. And then the way it builds up in Revelation, all this stuff, the beast does this and the beast does that. And all the world wondered after the beast and the number and the mark. And whoever didn't have it whacked their head off. Boy, it just gets big and eerie and spooky. And then Christ gets ready to come back, Revelation 19. And it says that all the world, you know, would gather together to make war against the Lamb. That even sounds weird. I mean, war against a lamb? Why would you fight against a lamb? That's the Holy Spirit's way of really dramatizing it, you know. And a little defenseless lamb, and they're all against the lamb. And the beast was taken. And he's cast into hell. And that's the end of it. Doesn't even say there was a war. Now, we know there is. God, you know, Armageddon, the grand battle and all that. But, I mean, the Lord himself, when he literally returned, and Revelation 19 with the armies of heaven and takes over, it's a non-issue. It's a non-battle. That is the end of it. And the beast is taken and the false prophet and cast into the lake of fire. And the dragon, that's the devil, Satan, the adversary of God Almighty for 6,000 years that we know, he's taken by one angel, Michael. One angel takes the devil and chains him up in the bottom of the pit for 1,000 years. Meaning what? It was no sweat. God has no problem with any of this bunch. He can just thump them and it's over forever if he wants to. The reason things continue to develop the way they do and just go on and on is because God's got certain things he's doing here and doing here. He's got a plan that has many puzzle pieces that are gradually coming together. And when it's all done, it will be perfect. And he's just using that to take more time than he really has to. But just for his glory, he's doing it for that reason. It's not required. I mean, he is not being held back by the devil. We're hindered by Satan. I can assure you God isn't hindered by him one bit. So if I just stay close to God and just keep my eyes on God, God is my Father. Our booklet, Identity Crisis, deals with this stuff for a reason. And it's times like these when we need to get a good grip on who we are. I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I have eternal security. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit, not until the old coronavirus knocks at my front door, until the day of redemption. See? I'm a child of the King. I'm going to get a brand new thing, these health issues I'm dealing with right now. I don't know what all that's going to, probably not going to amount to much. I feel fine, you know. But if whatever it does amount to, I don't know. I got doctor appointments coming up in the next few weeks. I got one Tuesday and got some dude down there. I don't know what his name is. Got to go see him. And he's going to mess with my heart. And I don't know what's going on. But I know one thing that's going to go on. This earthly scene is going to pass. I'm going to get a brand new glorified body one day. So are you if you're born again. No matter what your aches and pains are, you're going to get a brand new, perfectly healthy, glorified body because you're a child of the King. And he told you that you're going to get a body like his body one day. And that makes me just look beyond all this temporal mess and just say, forget it. It's not worth it. Listen, you need to know about those things that are happening, those bad things, to protect yourself and your loved ones, obviously, and warn the lost that they might get saved before it's too late. But you don't focus on it. You focus on him. And that keeps you going. I like that hymn, a great hymn called, Until Then. You probably know it. Got a line in it that says, and things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remembered there, will only bring a smile. Man, you're worried sick right now. Up there, you're going to smile about it. You do that today. You look back at things that you used to worry about and say, wasn't that so stupid? Look how that thing turned out. You look back, you'll say right now, most of the fears you've ever had in your life didn't amount to anything. Or didn't amount to near as much as you thought they were going to amount to. And the same thing with this thing. The world always, man, I saw one this morning. I mean, it's so stupid. I just get to want to laugh when I see it. I turn on the computer, I flip that thing up, and it, a little thing spins a while, and then that thing pops up there, and all the Microsoft and top news. You know what one of the top news stories today are? It is, how did it say it? It said, in so many words, it says, murder hornet from Asia. Hard to control, or hard to stop, or hard to contain. Our next big story is, look out, coming from Asia, there's these mean, ugly, giant hornets, and they're going to murder you. Murder hornets from Asia. That's what it said this morning. And I put a note, I said, they ought to save them for October and call them Halloween hornets, because they're yelling, orange and black looking, what a thing. There will be people that will see that and worry about that. I think people have a list that long, all the things to worry about today. Make you a list like that. Make you a big long list of everything you need to worry about, and then put it under the blood of Jesus Christ and throw it in the trash can. Right. And say, I'm going to trust God. Amen. Your faith is being tested. Either you're going to fear or you're going to have faith. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear. Where'd it come from? That's the devil. Right. And he's the god of this world, and all these people out there spooking you with all these crazy stories, they're just trying to keep you afraid. What time is it? Somebody got the time? 15? All right, we're going to get this done. Number 6, your Bible is being fulfilled. Your Bible is being fulfilled. Now, I'm not saying specifically every little thing that's happening is the fulfillment of a Bible prophecy, but there's a general trend that we can see moving here. There's a general trend toward globalism. Right now, you got the president. Didn't he go ahead and decide to withdraw funding from the World Health Organization? Didn't he do that? Amen. God bless him. See, that's the reason I like the guy. Who does that anymore? Who stands up to these people and says, no, you're not serving our interest? Matter of fact, every opinion we give to you, you're probably using against us. We're tired of it. We're tired of being stupid. That's what he said about China for many years before he ever even ran for office. He says, listen, they're taking advantage of us. We're losing in the trade war. They're gaining everything. We're losing everything. That has to stop. And when he got in office, buddy, he started stopping it. He started balancing things up a little bit. I like that. Okay, I don't like everything about him, but I like that. I probably wouldn't even get along with him if I had to live with him, you know, or be around him. But I like some of the stuff he does. And I see that kind of stuff. I think, amen, amen, amen. We need that. And he's not for that globalism. I think he's for America, okay? I think he's for this country and who we are. And listen, there are people that believe we have no right to be the world superpower. Yes, we do. We have fed the world. We have liberated the world in many ways. The world is generally much better off because of the United States of America. Listen, if you want a good book to read on it, get the 5,000 Year Leap. If you want a very abbreviated version, get my sermon that deals with it. What's the sermon called? The Great American Guilt Trip. There it is. The Great American Guilt Trip. And read it. Listen, the United States of America is unique in world history. There's no other country like us. There's no other country that has ever been founded on the principles that we were founded upon and accomplished as much good as we've accomplished. You say, well, we've accomplished some bad too. Of course we have. We're sinners. Sin is going to produce bad stuff everywhere. The trouble is, it usually doesn't produce good stuff too. America has had some good principles, has had some good people, has had a good strong block of Christianity and Bible-believing Christians who believe the kind of things that do promote justice and do promote all kinds of good things and lift life up and make it better for everybody. And that has gone on in this country for a long time, and it has spread throughout this world. Look at the missionaries that we've sent out. I'm not even preaching the point yet. I'll get to that in a minute. Listen, we have had a great thing going in this country, but there are people who say, oh, we don't need to be the superpower. Listen, we better be the superpower, because if anybody else is, it's all going downhill. Because nobody else has what we have. You understand that? Nobody else has. Go back and read our state constitutions. Tennessee state constitution. Alaska state constitution. California, New York, North Carolina, Florida, Alabama, Texas state constitution. Every one of them acknowledge the existence of God. Go find another country like that. See? I mean, God has truly had a reason to bless America, and God truly has had a reason to make us a world superpower, which He says He can do. Jeremiah, He can lift you up, He can put you down. See? Well, He's lifted us up, and He's blessed the world with us, and we need to stay right there. Because listen, if we're not the superpower, somebody else will be. And it ain't going to be pretty. So we better stay in the driver's seat. And I believe we got a president right now that understands that. I believe Ronald Reagan understood it. I believe some others in the past understood it. But when you get people in there like Obama and Pelosi and some of that bunch, and they think, we just all need to be one global community, look out. Because when you've got a global community, they're going to say, right hand please, they're going to give you that computer chip. They can say, we're going to put it in your head, put it in your hand, whatever. And they're going to start spreading the wealth around, as Obama said. That's impossible. There's not enough wealth to spread around. You spread it around, you'll be spreading the poverty around. You'll be spreading the misery around. You'll be spreading the sickness around. Say, that don't work. We better have a superpower that leads the way. And I think we've got a president that understands that. Well, anyway, I was saying your Bible is being fulfilled. Look around, man. Look at the stuff that's happening. They're trying to shatter the superpower. They're trying to just... Obama did that. That's what his presidency was about. Right after he got elected, he went around and apologized to the world for being a superpower. What a thing. That's not the way to do it. You want to go around and give speeches, you tell others how to take basic principles of freedom that we have enjoyed and we have prospered from, and how to put those in gear in your own country, and you enjoy the same blessings. See? He said, oh no, we're bad, we're bad, we're bad. I'm the president of the bad country. What a stupid... That's basically what he did. Remember him bowing down to foreign dictators? Fully, remember that? All the way at the waist, completely down and back up, bowing down to a bunch of foreign communist dictators. What a godless mess. Anyway, that shows you where this world's going. It's going down real fast if certain people get their way. Listen, that book told you, 2 Timothy 3, perilous times shall come. Well, we're seeing some of them. That's the trend. Perilous times are come. He goes on talking a whole bunch about that stuff. Later on in that chapter, he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Well, we see them. Boy, they're out there getting worse and worse. We see that. Man, we read in Matthew 24 about war, earthquakes, famines, even pestilences. Well, we're seeing it. It's here. Let's not act, what's that? Well, read your Bible. That's what the Word of God told you is going to happen in the last days. Listen, we got a rebuilt temple on the way. End isn't yet. They're going to put up a temple over in Jerusalem. They're going to get around to getting that done. There's going to be a big peace treaty, a covenant. There's going to be a violation of that covenant. There's going to be an image set up like under the Antichrist. I'm not saying you're going to be here for that. I'm just saying those things are coming. And the time is near. Listen, I have told you since we started this church that we are in the last days. And I don't mean generally. I mean very likely these things will happen in your lifetime. I can't promise you that. I can't say for sure. I'm saying it's very likely. And I've given you the reasons. I've given you the 7,000-year plan. I've given you the 2,000-year church age, roughly, and how we're at the tail end of that. I've given you the four watches of the night and how that we're at the tail end right now of the fourth watch. I've explained all that to you for years, but we're there. And it's just a matter, Brother Roloff said, man, we're just a mopping up crew. The show is over. We're at the end, and we're just a mopping up crew. And the Bible is being fulfilled. You start hearing about microchips and biochips and all. Of course, that stuff's got... Listen, just because you see a company putting computer chips in employees' hands, that doesn't mean that's the mark of the beast. That means the technology is here. And it may stay in the private sector for a few years or several years and become more commonplace and get people conditioned and ready for it. And when the time is right, everybody gets it. See, that's the way this stuff works. See, and I don't know how quick, I don't know how soon, I just know Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before your very eyes. Just look around. You can see the stuff out there. And what isn't literally being fulfilled, the potential for it to be fulfilled is clear as crystal. You can see it like never before. I mean, in literally, let's just say 1800s, when D.L. Moody was preaching, okay? When D.L. Moody was preaching in Chicago and going around and preaching and stuff, Charles Spurgeon preaching in England, how could the mark of the beast have been a reality then? How could it have been fulfilled? It wasn't even possible. It would have been possible if somehow they just made it a tattoo, put a tattoo mark and just make you have to have that to buy and sell. World population wasn't near what it is now. So I guess it was manageable then that way. But boy, you can really see it now. You can see the convenience. You can see, and that little video on the internet that showed that company putting computer chips in people's hands, they made it look cool and trendy. Man, they were laughing. They were all wearing blue polo shirts, the company logo on the shirt. They were just, are you going to get one? Yeah. Boy, it was just so cool. It was just so hip, say, passing it off that way. That's the idea behind this thing. It's a trend. It's cool. It's hip. They call it a chip party. Turn it into an event. Boy, that'll work. That'll work. Everybody's all event-driven today. Get together with the group and let's do the happening, trendy kind of thing. Take the mark of the beast. Wow, congratulations, stupid. What a thing. Your Bible is being fulfilled. Man, just look around. There's stuff happening everywhere that's lining up with the trend, the movement of the book of Revelation. It's coming to pass. Don't miss what's happening. Be aware of it. Don't take part in it. And warn others. Amen. What an opportunity to witness. And number seven, your Lord is coming back. Thank God. But so many people get so caught up in Revelation 13 and the spook and the Antichrist. Ooh, that's some scary stuff. Heads decapitate. You know, the Muslims cut heads off. That's probably going to be a Muslim thing. It's just really scary. Ooh. Yeah, but keep reading. Revelation doesn't stop in chapter 13. It goes on. Chapter 19, Christ comes back. And then he said, okay, now we're going to do it my way. Satan, you're going to bottomless pit for about 1,000 years. I'm going to let you out one more time just to prove a point. And when you come out and prove the point, I'm going to take you and cast you into the lake of fire forever. He takes complete control. When Christ comes back, Nobody does what they want to do anymore. He does what he wants to do. Because it is the literal fulfillment, Matthew 6, get it? Thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. That's never happened. It's, well, if it's in the book, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. Christ is coming back, and when he does, God's will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And man will have, and it's the first time somebody said, well, I think we ought to vote on it. I think you're going to hell. Boom, you're done. That won't be, he talking about, you ever seen those movies where somebody does that? You know, I heard Saddam Hussein did that one time. He had a big board meeting with all of his generals, and he got all done and said, all right, any questions? Somebody raised their hand, he shot them. Bam! Any more questions? It's going to be almost like that when Jesus Christ takes over. In a good way. I don't mean in a mean, vicious, cruel way. But I mean, listen, I'm not making this up. Revelation said he will rule the earth with what? A rod of iron. You know what that means? I'm tired of what you think. We're going to do what I think. And this can be done right. You've had 6,000 years, man, to show how to run things. And all you've done is just mess it up from start to finish. You got it so messed up that when you got everything under your control, you had everybody worshiping the devil with a stupid mark of the beast. Now sit down and shut up. We're going to do it my way. That's what's coming. And the encouraging part is you're on the winning side. Boy, I like that. I'm on the winning side. I'm not on the side sitting there going, oh yeah, I did do it wrong, didn't I? No, I did it right. I got 41 years ago today, I did it right. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. What about that? May 3rd, 1979, I got saved. That's the smartest thing I ever did. I've done some dumb things since then, but I'll tell you something, I've done some smart things since then too. And every time I do something smart, it's because I found something in this book that says, this is a better way, do this. And when I do it, it works out great. And when I don't, you know, I get up, feel like an idiot, have to confess, you know, and try it again, you know. But that book is right. And if you want to be on the winning side, get in line with that book. Because, listen, he's coming back. I used to have a t-shirt. Brother Ruckman had a big old picture he did, you know. And I had it on front of the t-shirt. It had Christ coming back with armies of heaven, you know, Revelation 19. It says, guess who's coming back? And boy, is he mad. That's what's coming. If you're angry about this stuff and the way your life has been altered and changed by the injustices that we see among the world leadership today, just think what God is thinking. He sees so much more than you see. And you only have to see it for, I don't know, 70, 80 years. That's all you can handle. God said, I better get you out of there. You can't handle much more. He's been watching this thing for 6,000 years. And I know he's not literally about to do this, but just figuratively speaking, he's about to blow his stack. Okay? Now, I know God's not going to ever literally blow his stack. He's God. That's impossible. He can take anything. But you get the point. He's like Papa. I've stood all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. Remember Papa, when he used to do this thing, you know, get the winding up, eat that spinach, you know, and boy, that old fist go to flying, and that arm, and man, whoever he hits, they're gone, you know. That's what's coming. Jesus is coming back, and there ain't anything going on in with Bill Gates or the United Nations or Dr. Fucci, Fauci, whatever, you know, whatever his name is. That stuff is nothing but comic book material for God. It says it is. Psalm 2. He that sitteth in the heavens shall what? Laugh. Well, then why aren't we laughing? Start laughing with this stuff and rejoicing in God's promises because it's just about over. It is just about over. Amen. The Lord is coming back. I had some scripture, but let me just give you some quick references. I won't turn you to them for sake of time. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9 and 10, you're not told to focus on the tribulation or the Antichrist or the doom and gloom stuff. You're told to wait for his son from heaven. He's coming back. See? Be looking for him. Be waiting for him. In John 14, 1 to 3, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. Well, what about the tribulation, the Antichrist, and the mark of the beast, and the three unclean spirits like frogs, and the spaces between the 10 toes on the beast from Daniel chapter 2, and the collapse of the Gentiles? Forget all that. I'm coming for you. That's the focus. This other stuff is worth talking about and worth warning people about and worth being reminded that when you see it, the time is at hand. Okay, now get back on this. Jesus Christ is coming for you. Don't lose the... You get that? Know the other stuff, but don't lose the focus. The focus is Him. The focus is He is coming for me. In Acts chapter 1, you know, when He went back to heaven, He said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The tribulation's coming. The unclean spirits like frogs are going to take over. We've got the stinking killer murderer hornets coming from China. You better get busy. You got a lot." He didn't say that. He said, "I'm going like this, and get ready because I'm coming back just like this." Who's coming? I am coming back for you. That is what the focus ought to be. The other stuff is interesting, but the encouragement and the real faith and focus is in the fact that Jesus is coming back. And let's not forget it. Amen? All right, let's all stand.